नमोस्तुते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 10। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वांट टू एक्सप्रेस माय हार्टफेल्ट थैंक्स टू हिज होलीनेस लोकनाथ महाराज फॉर क्रिएटिंग दिस वंडरफुल अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर अस come here in Noida and to get to see the beautiful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Gaur Nithai. Srila Prabhupada said that this Krishna consciousness movement was spread in every town and village all over the world. And now you are seeing in the largest city of Delhi alone there are more than 12 temples. And Loknath Maharaj took that responsibility of building this temple, such a beautiful temple, so ornate, so beautifully designed. Every aspect of this temple is so beautiful. The conference room where we are having the meeting, I was seeing that so beautifully designed with different pastimes of Krishna and Ramchandra. And thank you so much, Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, seventh canto, chapter 14, ideal family life, text 10. Text 10. Trivargam nati krichrena bhajate bhajeta grihamedhi api yatha desham yatha kalam yavat दैवोपदिष्टम्। I'm sorry, दैवोपादितम् दैवोपापादितम् दैवोपपादितम् I'm sorry, दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नातिकृच्छ्रेण भजेत गृहमिद्धपि यथा देशं यथा कालं यावद्दैव पापादितम्। त्रिवर्गं नातिकृच्छ्रेण भजेत गृहमिद्धपि यथा देशं यथा कालं यावद्दैवोपपादितम्। त्रिवर्गं नातिकृच्छ्रेण भजेत गृहमिद्धपि यथा देशं यथा कालं यावद्दैवोपपादितम्।
जेता गृहमेत्थति यथा देशं यथा कालं जावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नाति कृच्छ्रेण भजेत गृहमेत्थपि यथा देशं यथा कालं जावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नाति कृच्छ्रेण गृहमेत्थपि यथा देशं यथा कालं जावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नाति कृच्छ्रेण जेता गृहमेत्थपि यथा देशं यथा कालं दैवोपपादितम् मातजी त्रिवर्गं नाति कृच्छ्रेण जेता गृहमेत्थपि यथा देशं यथा कालं जावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नाति कृच्छ्रेण भजेत गृहमेत्थपि यथा देशं यथा कालं जावद्दैवोपपादितम् Three Vargam, three principles, namely religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Na, not, ati kritchrena, by very severe endeavor. Bhajeta, should execute. Griha medhi, a person interested in family life. Api, although, yatha desham, according to the place, yatha kalam, according to the time, yavat, as much as, daiva, by the grace of the Lord, upapaditam, obtained. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development or satisfaction of the senses. Even in household life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor, according to place and time, by the grace of the Lord. One should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Please repeat after me. Even if one is a householder, rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi, or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor, according to place and time, by the grace of the Lord. One should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In human life, there are four principles to be fulfilled: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. First, one should be religious, observing various rules and regulations, and then one must earn some money for maintenance of his family and the satisfaction of his senses. The most important ceremony for sense gratification is marriage, because sexual intercourse is one of the principal necessities of the material body. Janmaithunadi grihamedhi sukham hitucham. Although sexual intercourse is not a very exalted requisite in life, both animal and men require some sense gratification because material propensities. One should be satisfied with married life and not expend energy for extra sense gratification or sex life. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the vaishyas and grihasthas. Human society should be divided into varnas and ashrams: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Economic development is necessary for grihasthas. Brahmana grihasthas should be satisfied with a life of adhyayan, adhapan, jajan, and jajan. Being learned scholars, teaching others to be scholars, learning how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, and also teaching others how to worship Lord Vishnu or even the demigods. A brahmana should do this without remuneration, but he is allowed to accept charity from a person whom he teaches how to be a human being. As for the kshatriyas, they are supposed to be the kings of the land, and the land should be distributed to the vaishyas for agricultural activities, cow protection, and trade. Sudras must work. Sometimes they should engage in occupational duties as cloth manufacturers, weavers, blacksmiths, goldsmiths, brassmiths, and so on. Or else they should engage in hard labor to produce food grains. These are the different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood. And in this way, human society should be simple. At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as Ugra Karma, extremely severe endeavor. This Ugra Karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Men are engaging in many sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their lives. In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here, with the use of the word api, that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihasthas, the brahmacharis, vanaprasthis, and sannyasis, they don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and simply be engaged in advancement in Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 of the population should be grihastha, and that should be according to laws of restricted sense gratification. The grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daiva Varnashram. One of the objectives of Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Varnashram. But not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narad Muni is instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj about ideal family life. He is gradually explaining different varnas and ashram situations. And this varnashram is actually the very foundation of human society. Human society, Krishna himself is mentioning in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnang Maya Srishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. I have created these four varnas according to guna, according to the division of guna and karma. Simple understanding is that those who are in the mode of goodness, they are brahmanas. Those who are in the mode of passion, they are kshatriyas. Those who are in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance, they are vaishyas. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they are shudras. These modes have a very, very profound influence on living entities. Not only the human beings we see, even the animals. According to the modes, according to the influence of the modes, they develop different characteristics. For example, the cows are in the mode of goodness. And look at the nature of the cows. Just take a little grass and give them milk. And not only milk, everything that a cow gives is valuable. Even cow dung is very valuable. The most wonderful purifying agent is cow dung. Cow's urine is extremely valuable. It has wonderful medicinal effects. So the waste product of the cow's excretion like stool and urine is also so valuable. Cows are in the mode of goodness. Whereas the lions are in the mode of passion. And we can see the distinct difference between a cow and a lion. Lion is very powerful. And it is, in a way, it has a very noble characteristic also. Therefore, the lion is the king of the animals. Lion protects the other animals. And a lion unnecessarily would not attack anyone. Only when he is hungry, he'll kill some animal and eat. That's his food. And also another nature of a lion is not going to touch the meat that has been, the animal that has been killed by someone else. Only in the zoos the lion would eat that meat. But in the wilderness, in the forest, a lion will kill the animal and eat it. This is how we see the nature of different individuals due to the influence of the modes on them. Similarly, we see in the human nature also, in the human society, the human individuals, those who are affected by the mode of goodness, they develop certain characteristics. And what's the characteristics? They're naturally detached. They don't have a tendency, they don't have any desire to enjoy this material nature, because they know that there is no enjoyment in this material nature. All this is, all the allurements of enjoyment is only illusory. And therefore, their nature is try to benefit others by giving them real knowledge. And what kind of knowledge you are talking about? Not materialistic knowledge. The brahmanas are giving the spiritual knowledge based on the scriptures. Pathan, pathan, jajan, jajan, as Prabhupada say. Pathan, studying. What do they study? The Vedic literatures. And by studying the Vedic literatures, they develop, they acquire wisdom. And they distribute that wisdom. Pathan, teach. They impart that knowledge to others. And they teach people how to serve the Lord, how to worship the Lord. So these are the characteristics of a brahmana. He's situated in transcendental platform. The definition of a brahmana, who is a brahmana? Brahma janati iti brahmana. One who knows the spiritual reality, he is a brahmana. And kshatriya, the definition of a kshatriya, obviously the one who is in the mode of passion. His nature is like a lion's. He's very powerful. And due to the influence of the mode of passion, he wants to enjoy, he likes to enjoy. He's an enjoyer. A kshatriya is an enjoyer due to the influence of the mode of passion. But the society has imposed certain responsibility upon them. Okay, if you want to enjoy, then you must protect. The kshatriya is one who is kshatat trayate iti kshatriya. One who protects the society from injury, both external and internal injury. He is a kshatriya. Not just enjoy, but along with the enjoyment comes responsibility. You have to protect. Protect the society. They are kings, as Prabhupada is pointing out. And he rules over the kingdom like a lion. He gives protection to his subordinates, to his citizens, prajas. He treats the citizens as his children. Children, those who are not born out of him. Prakrishta rupena jayate. One is a son in a special way. How? Because he is their subordinate. He is his subordinate. And as his subordinate, it is his responsibility to give protection to them, take care of them, just like the father takes care of his children. And then Vaishyas, they're in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance. Like, he has the tendency to enjoy. He has the desire to enjoy. But he doesn't have the strength of a kshatriya to enjoy due to the influence of the mode of ignorance. He's not as powerful as a kshatriya. A kshatriya, if he wants something, he will take it by force. Kshatriya goes to some place and sees, oh, this kingdom is nice. I want it. And so he'll send a proposal to the existing king. I like your kingdom. Give it to me. If you give it to me, if you come to my, under my control, then I'll give you protection. I'll protect you. But if you do not offer it to me, then come and fight. And whoever wins gets the kingdom. Not only the kingdom. If a kshatriya likes a beautiful girl, a princess, that's his same approach. Takes her by force. And then the other kings will attack him. And if he is defeated, then forget the princess. Rather go to Jamalaya. Actually, that's another thing. A kshatriya, when he dies in the battlefield, he goes to heavenly planet. Therefore, Krishna is telling Arjun that if you win, you will enjoy this world. And if you lose, you'll enjoy the heavenly planet. So what's the loss? And we saw how the kshatriyas used to be. Even Krishna, when he went, Rukmini was about to be offered to Shishupal. But Rukmini wrote to Krishna, please, I have accepted you as my Lord and Master, so please come and claim me. So Krishna came. And Shishupal assembled all his friends. And together they had 23 Akshauhini soldiers. And Krishna practically was alone. Balaram got to know that Krishna all left for Kundin Gram. Krishna actually, when he received that letter from the Brahmana, letter from Rukmini from the Brahmana, right away Krishna left alone. That's the spirit of her. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, through his actions, we see the nature of a kshatriya is fearless. Fearless. He doesn't hesitate to 23 Akshauhini soldiers single-handedly. Of course, Balaram got to know, so he just followed Krishna with one Akshauhini soldier. And Krishna just kidnapped Rukmini. Right in front of their eyes, of course, Jogamaya cast her spell. In the sense, when Rukmini came out from the Devi temple after worshipping her, all the kings and all the soldiers assembled there, they got spellbound. Many of them fainted and fell on the ground just seeing her beauty. And taking that opportunity, Krishna just drove his chariot right through their midst, picked up Rukmini on his chariot and just drove away. And then they came back to their senses. Hey, the princess is stolen, the bride is stolen by Krishna, who is an expert thief. He's expert in stealing. From his childhood, he has been mastering the art of stealing. In his childhood, he was stealing butter. In his youth, he was stealing the dresses of the ladies. And now he is stealing the princess. And so they attacked Krishna. And Balaram faced them. Krishna also turned around and faced them. And 23 Akshauhini soldiers were defeated. This is the nature of a kshatriya. We can see the same kind of nature in Arjun, Pandavas. When Arjun claimed Draupadi, he had to face the same situation. They, by nature, will be independent. Brahmanas are independent, Kshatriyas are independent, Vaishyas are independent, occupation-wise. Only the Sudras are dependent. Of course, Prabhupada pointed out that no one is actually independent. Everyone is dependent upon somebody else. Like a businessman is dependent upon their customers. And so forth. Husband is dependent upon his wife. I'm sorry. The wives are dependent upon the husbands. So ultimately everyone is dependent, and that is the nature, because our actual situation is that we all are subordinate to Krishna. We all are dependent. By nature, we are servants. We are dependent. But anyway, in the human society where individual gets an opportunity to act according to his own propensity, according to his own desire, Krishna has given the liberty to act. Okay, you want to be independent, go ahead. But the reality is, the more you try to become independent, the more you will suffer. That's the law of nature. So in the ultimate issue, everybody should become surrendered to Krishna. We all are dasas, we all are servants. And by Krishna's arrangement, Kali's arrangement, in this age, practically everyone has become a sudra. Everyone is a sudra. Asuddha sudra kalpahi, brahmana kali shambhava. Even the brahmanas have become like sudras in the age of Kali. And you can see that. What is the trend? Get a job. Isn't it? The trend is go to the institutions to study in order to get a job. The purpose of studies is to get a job. That means everybody is desiring to become a sudra. Everyone has become a sudra. Only there are some vaishyas. But the thing is, reality is, in this age there is no kshatriya. There is no room for the kshatriya now that the democracy has become prevalent. With his own right, with his own power, no one can establish his right. The nature's law actually was Bira Bhagya Vasundhara. Vasundhara, Mother Earth, is meant to be enjoyed by the Viras, the heroes, the powerful individuals. But instead of that system, what is prevailing in today's world is democracy all over. Monarchy is gone. Of course, there is a reason why monarchy is gone. The monarch or the kings, they did not really take care of their citizens, but they actually exploited their citizens for their enjoyment. They became independent. Why they became independent? In the proper human society, the kshatriyas were not independent. The kshatriyas used to rule their kingdoms under the guidance of the brahmanas. Brahmanas used to guide the kshatriyas. And we can see with King Dena, when the king became tyrannical, the brahmanas stepped in, advised him, Vena, this is not right, the way you are behaving. But Vena's response was, who are you? I am the supreme worshipable personality. Because I am representing all the demigods. All the demigods are in my body. Therefore, I am the supreme personality. And this is how he actually challenged the brahmanas when they came to give him good advice. But then we see what the brahmanas did. They just loudly humkar. They loudly chanted some mantra. Vena was dead. So that's how powerful the brahmanas were. Although they were withdrawn, although they were completely detached, but they're extremely powerful. So powerful that by chanting mantra they could kill somebody. No matter how powerful that person could have been. So, brahmanas voluntarily accepted the life of detachment and renunciation. And the kshatriyas were subordinate to them. But in the age of Kali, when the brahmanas became degraded, it's actually very interesting to note how the society degraded in the age of Kali. Garuda Puran is actually mentioning that Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayante Brahmajanishu. the Rakshasas will take birth in the age of Kali. Taking advantage of the age of Kali, some Rakshasas will be born in the Brahminical families, and they will destroy the Vedic culture. In the name of the Vedas, they will introduce all kinds of undesirable activities, and as a result of that, people will lose their faith in the Brahmanas, and the whole society will be totally disarrayed. And so Brahma Kshatriyas lost respect for the Brahmanas. We are not going to accept the authority of these rogues and rascals. And then the Kshatriyas become independent. And when a Kshatriya becomes independent, then he goes wild. An example. Have you seen a wild horse? It's wild. Just does whatever it wants. But when the horse is trained and controlled, then the horse is very good, very useful. So Kshatriyas are like that. When they're controlled and guided properly, they are very, very useful. They are the ones that are able to protect the Mother Earth. Kshatatrayate iti. In that respect, Prabhupada actually mentioned that if we look at the history of India, since time immemorial, Indian rulers were ruling over the earth planet. It was the kings of India who were ruling the entire earth planet. It is not that others did not want to enter into India, but no one succeeded. It is only about 1100 years ago that this invader succeeded to enter into India. Prior to that, nobody ever entered into India. Because why? Because the kings of India were so powerful. And some years back, about 1100 years back, what actually happened? The Kshatriyas started to fight among themselves. And taking advantage of that the invaders could come into India. Mahmud Ghori, 17 times he attacked Prithviraj, didn't succeed. On the 18th time when he attacked, and all 17 times after defeating Mahmud Ghori, Prithviraj let him go. Okay, go back. And he came again and attacked, 17 times. But on the 18th time, he took advantage of a feud between Prithviraj and Jaichand. And he sided with Jaichand. Jaichand and Mahmud Ghori jointly attacked Prithviraj. And out of that sudden attack, Prithviraj succumbed, defeated. So that is the history of India. Prior to that, no one ever entered into India. Why? Because the Indian kings, the Kshatriyas, were so powerful that no one could ever enter into this country. And then the history is known to us, what happened. Because the Indian kings were not strong enough, not powerful enough, they were divided, they were fighting among themselves, and the Muslim invaders came in, took advantage of their dispute among themselves, and took over the country. And then came the British, then came independence, then came democracy. And we are seeing the result of democracy. Srila Prabhupada very aptly identified this kind of arrangement as demon crazy. It's not democracy, it's actually demon crazy. And what's going on? All kinds of people are taking advantage of this opportunity. The most unscrupulous individuals are coming to power, and what they're doing, instead of benefiting the society, they're simply exploiting the society for their individual benefits. So that's why Prabhupada actually was so concerned about establishing Varnashram. In 1977, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was quite sick, and I have the good fortune of serving Srila Prabhupada practically 24 hours a day. And I had my shift to be with Srila Prabhupada at night from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. Oftentimes Srila Prabhupada couldn't sleep. And in one such night, when Prabhupada couldn't sleep, I was massaging him. He was half lying on his bed. And Prabhupada just started to speak. He said, "There is so much to do and my health is so bad." So I tried to console Srila Prabhupada, saying, "Srila Prabhupada, what you have done is inconceivable. No one has ever achieved whatever you have achieved. So you should not think that you haven't done enough." Prabhupada said, "No, what I have done is the 50%. The other 50% is to establish Varnashram." Then Prabhupada said, "Not that everybody will become a devotee. Those who won't become devotees, for them we need Varnashram. The society has to be structured to according to the Vedic arrangement." In this way Prabhupada just kept on speaking. And at that time I was just a new devotee, and most of the things that Prabhupada said actually flew over my head. But in course of time I began to realize, yeah, Prabhupada also mentioned that in this age everyone has become a Sudra. And Prabhupada was making the Brahmanas. What will be the most difficult is to establish the Kshatriyas. Prabhupada did not elaborate very much, but in course of time I could see that yes, it will be most difficult to establish the Kshatriyas, because in the democratic age, Kshatriyas don't have a place. Kshatriyas need a free field. Whoever is most powerful will become the leader. That's a Kshatriya. They need their own field. They need their own area to rule. That's why when Krishna went to Duryodhan with the final proposal to avoid the battle of Kurukshetra, he said, "Okay, give them just 5 villages. They are Kshatriyas, they need some place to rule. You don't have to give them the kingdom back. Just give them 5 villages. But Duryodhan refused to do that, give that. So that is the thing, that Kshatriya needs his own land, needs his own field. And in that field he functions. He has his followers, he takes care of his followers as an ideal leader. Just as a father takes care of his children, in this way he takes care of the followers. And his followers are prepared to give their lives for him. But in democracy there is no room for such Kshatriyas. In this world of democracy, the only Kshatriyas are the mafias. They have some semblance of a Kshatriya. They say, "Okay, you surrender unto me, I will give you protection." And yes, they are noble in their own way. They are prepared to give their lives even to protect their followers. And they pay their tax and they give them protection. Anyway, it's just an example that came to my mind. But otherwise the Kshatriyas don't have any room in this world. Therefore, we can see, like, as devotees of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has given us a very, very important responsibility to establish Varnashram. And this Varnashram that Prabhupada spoke about is not just some, in a small little area, we are creating our own Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. has to be real Varnashram, where everybody will be situated according to his natural propensity, designed by the influence of the modes of nature. By nature they are Brahmanas, by nature they are Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Sudras. And that is the human society that Krishna has designed. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi. Okay, yeah, you have a question? Give the mic to the Mataji there.
Hi, Krishna Gurumayat. You said that there are different modes of passion, goodness and all. So like, if a person is going for a job or they are doing a business, you don't want to be in that mode of passion, but unfortunately the things are such that there's a moment when we get into that mood. Even if a person is trying to remember Krishna, or even if you are trying to chant, the situation is such that we get into this.
Yeah, good. Actually, everyone is in the mode of passion and ignorance. This cycle. Passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion, and passion to ignorance. For example, during the day, due to the influence of the mode of passion, one works so hard. Then at night he falls asleep in the mode of ignorance. In the morning he wakes up. Again in the mode of passion he becomes active. And then again at night he falls asleep in the mode of ignorance. So this is how everyone is actually subjected to passion and ignorance. And this passion and ignorance is generating lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride, etc. But one has to transcend the mode of passion and come to the mode of goodness. Tada rajastamo bhava kamo lobha dayashchaje. Everybody is being influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, and as a result of that they are subjected to lust, greed, anger, etc. Vacheto etoir anabiddham sthitam satte prasidati. When one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, then only his heart becomes completely content and he becomes situated in bhakti yoga. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata. So the thing is that bhakti yoga can, in order to develop this tendency for or appreciation and acceptance of bhakti, one has to become situated in the mode of goodness. And then what happens when one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, in bhakti, then he can use even mode of passion in devotional service. For example, Arjuna is fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Hanuman is fighting for Lord Ramchandra. These are all done in the mode of passion. But this passion is being executed in the mode of devotional service. Any other question? Yes?
I have a question.
Oh, I see. Okay. Fine. Go ahead.
In the explanation of this book, it was mentioned that we should not get involved in what is called Ukrakarma, which was defined as technological advancement. But today is the time of technological advancement. So how can we not get involved and living in this era?
Okay, so, good point. Very good point. Okay. So, are you practicing devotional service?
I worship sometimes, or I try to get involved in spirituality.
Okay. But okay, you're practicing spirituality, right?
Yeah.
Are you following Srila Prabhupada's instructions?
No.
No, okay, that's a bad news. Okay, now, okay, I'll tell you what actually happens, how one can do that. When one becomes a devotee, he abstains from certain activities. Like Prabhupada is mentioning, what is Ugra Karma? You know, going to nightclubs, going to discotheques, going to movies, going to all these kind of places and indulging in all kinds of activities. Now when you become a devotee, you stop those activities. So devotees can very easily execute those, or rather devotees can abstain very easily from those activities and become situated in the platform of simple living and high thinking. Like devotee's life, do you know any devotee? Okay, better you get to know some devotees. Better you start associating with devotees. Right? Will you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, very good girl. So you'll see how wonderful these devotees are. You'll find many friends here. And they'll guide you very nicely in your spiritual life. And then try to get the association and direction of Loknath Maharaj, who is the leader of this temple. Do you know Loknath Maharaj? No? So you're a real newcomer. Yeah? Okay, very good. It's very nice that you came at least today. So Loknath Maharaj is a sannyasi, he's the spiritual master, and he is the in charge of this temple. And so take his guidance. Okay? Yes, there's a question here.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, in the beginning, was this describing when Jiva comes from spiritual world to material world, got affected or polluted by the three modes of material nature. And according to the mode which is provided in a Jiva, as Aranya, maybe then he is subjected to the ashram, so the Varna. So we see everyone is affected by the three modes. Now the question is how this mapping happens, how someone is
affected. Yeah. It depends upon the prevailing mode. Three modes are there, but out of these three modes, some modes are prevalent in different individuals. Like some individual is predominantly affected by the mode of goodness. They develop Brahminical qualities. Some are predominantly affected by the mode of passion and so forth. And accordingly they develop their character.
Sometimes we see a person gets different objects. We see karma, previous birth he takes different in the mother, father and the society and everything. So similarly, is it previous some karma which makes...
Ultimately everything is prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah. Krishna is telling in this material nature, everyone is being guided by or forced to act according to the guna and karma. People act in different modes and get respective results. Like, for example, some person has been hit by a cycle while crossing the road. And one person, being hit like that, starts to cry. Someone being hit by a cyclist in this way while crossing the road just gets up and starts to beat up the cyclist. And some other person being hit like that, he just brushes off the dust from his sleeves and tells the cyclist, "Don't worry, it's my fault actually. I should have seen before crossing the road that you're coming." Three people are acting in three different ways. The first one acting in the mode of ignorance. Second one in passion. Third one, goodness. And accordingly they'll get the reactions. Mode of goodness will elevate one. Mode of passion will make one remain in this plane. And mode of ignorance will degrade one to the lower levels of life. Okay. So as one is acting, accordingly he gets the result, reaction, and accordingly he will be subjected to that reaction. So I'll take last two questions, okay?
Hare Krishna. Maharaji, having said about Varna, Brahman, Kshatriya and Vaishya, these three, one are independent and the Shudras are dependent on the three Varnas. But it is also true that the three Varnas, Brahman, Vaishya, Shudra, these three live under the protection of Kshatriyas. So these three, Brahman, Vaishya and Shudra, these three live under the protection of Kshatriyas. So how the Brahman...
Yeah, okay, I got your point. Being under protection and being somebody's servant is two different things. Kshatriya's business is to protect, right? So army is protecting you, protecting the country, right? So, did you become the servant of the army? It's a natural right. It's a business of an army to protect, right? Or business of the police to give protection. And the citizens are under the protection of the police or army and so forth. But that doesn't mean that they have become subordinate to the police or army. Give it to him.
Thank you, Maharaj, for wonderfully explaining this Varna system. One point Maharaj told, okay, like, to accommodate more and more sections of the society, basically in Krishna consciousness, we need this Varna system to be established. Maharaj, but like, is it just for, first question is it just for to accommodate more and more people to become a Krishna conscious, or like, it's for devotees also, it is needed this Varna system?
No, it's the natural way to structure the society. Society needs to be structured, right? Or should it be completely, you know, honky-dory? Like, you need structure. And how the structure should be? According to one's propensity. Meaning, what one wants to do, one should be engaged accordingly. And when it is like that, when the society is structured in that way, there won't be unemployment. Everyone will be engaged. Right? A brahmana, he'll be happy just studying and teaching. Right? And he won't accept any salary. But those who are studying under him or getting benefits from him will give him in charity. That's how Brahmana will be situated. A Kshatriya, he has his tendency to kind of fight and give protection. Right? He's powerful, he's, you know, fearless, he's noble, and he behaves in that accordingly. He is not going to ask for any salary. He will be the king. And the king will have his subordinate other Kshatriyas. He'll give them land. Or a monarch will give protection to the kings. Kings will give protection to the lords and barons. And so forth. Jamindars. So they all will be, you know, independent in that way. Vaishyas will be catering to the needs of the society. Whatever the society needs, the Vaishya will supply and he'll make his profit. It's only the Sudras who will act under the guidance of others or become subservient or servants of others. Okay. So when that happens, is there any room for unemployment? Everyone is employed. But in today's world, unemployment is the big problem. And it will become even worse and worse. Because everyone is wanting a job. And all the education system, the entire education system is geared towards the job, getting job. So number of applicants are going to be far greater than the opportunities available. So what will happen? They won't have any occupation. It's good in a way. ISKCON's door will be open for them and tell them, okay, come and join us. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premananda.